Amen. Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, love God. But the Holy Spirit part of God, that's the one that you can feel. And you can just feel it flowing through here this morning as we're singing as well. So all praise and glory to God. Welcome, whether you're here physically or here virtually. We just hope that you feel that presence, that the Holy Spirit just flowing through you as he guides us, as he directs us, as he convicts us, and redirects us. We all need that from time to time. So let's find out more from our readings today.
The first reading today is from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, 'What does this mean?' Some, however, made fun of them and said, 'They've had too much wine.' Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd, 'Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. Blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord, and everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." The second reading today is from Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 27. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what we ought to pray for, But the Spirit himself intercedes for us through wordless groans. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. Here ends the readings.
Please rise if you're able for the reading of the gospel. Today's gospel is found in John 15 and part of 16. Jesus speaking. When the Advocate comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. I did not tell you this from the beginning because I was with you, but now I am going to him who sent me. None of you asked me, where are you going? Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly I tell you, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will prove the world to be in the wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because people do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where he can see me no longer. And about judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears. And he will tell you what is yet to come. He will glorify me, because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said the Spirit will receive from me what he will make known to you. Here is the reading. You may be seated. Any kids want to head out for children's church? Feel free at this time. Lord, we thank you for your word, which guides us and sustains us and directs us, comforts us. And we thank you for your Spirit that is with us always. Bless these words, Lord, and open our ears, our minds, and our hearts that they can speak to us as they were intended to do. Amen. All right. Pentecost. Love it. It seems like the coming of the Holy Spirit, but no, he was there all along. You go back to the beginning of Genesis, the Spirit moved over the waters. Okay, he's there. Over 25 times in the Old Testament mentions the Holy Spirit. So it's sort of like, you know, a little kid understanding of Jesus. They think that he got his start in Bethlehem when he was born in a manger. No, all things were created through him, John 1, right? There from the beginning. Same thing with the Holy Spirit, there from the beginning. But all of a sudden, made himself known in a big, big way at Pentecost. Like I said, in the Old Testament, he's mentioned at creation. You hear about him reading about Samson, about Gideon, about Saul, and of course the prophets that were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit within us, around us, guiding us. And the thing about God is you can't see him, of course. But you can experience him. You can feel him. And you can see the effects. Same thing with the Holy Spirit. Of course, he is God. You know, it's the three in one, the triune deal going on there. So people are gathered for Pentecost. This was a festival. This was a feast of weeks, it was called. It was a harvest festival. People came from all over, as Kelly told us. From, you know, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Libya, Rome, Crete, Arabs, etc., from everywhere. And it's a big celebration. Think of like Heritage Days or Waterama, something like that. A lot of people gathered together, a big celebration. And that's fun. You get all these people together, and you imagine all the kids running around everywhere, connecting with their cousins and stuff they haven't seen in a long time. It's like a big reunion, a big celebration. And God used this opportunity then. Again, there were many festivals throughout the year. They were big on that. And, of course, it was time off work, too. Pentecost means 50 days. And this is 50 days after Passover. So it's significant on the Jewish calendar as well. Alrighty. And then God comes in with quite the attention getter. This will be pretty cool to see. You're in this room. All of a sudden, there's a sound like a mighty wind. Alrighty. and then tongues of fire on top of people's heads. I mean, all right, you got my attention. This, yeah. And then they start speaking in languages that they don't even know. I mean, only God, only God. I long to see stuff like this. You know, you see evidence of God everywhere. You see some medical miracles and some other miracles and things. But this, as a scientist, I'm so fascinated. Where these tongues of fire come from? What's up with the wind? What's generating the sound? It must be a wind. What's the Holy Spirit? In Greek, he's called pneuma, which means wind. You can't see the wind, but you can feel it and you can see its effects. Same thing with the Holy Spirit or God. You can't see him, but you can see the effects of what he does and you can feel it. And what a great feeling when you get that. So a crowd gathers, as would be expected. Something strange happening, it's going to draw a crowd, all right? And crowds draw crowds. So you got even more people coming in to this part of the city now because there's some sort of excitement being generated. And people are curious. They want to see what's going on. No exception here. Human nature, of course, has not changed in 2,000 years. So there's this miracle going on where the apostles are speaking in their own language, but people are hearing them in different ones. I don't know Swahili, okay? But I could be speaking in English, and they would be hearing me in that. I don't speak Russian, but they could hear in that. Wherever they're from, they're hearing that. And this is an only God thing. You can't explain it any other way. Only God can do this. This is sort of like the opposite of the Tower of Babel, too, when you think about it. The people had one common language. All of a sudden, they were sent out with many. All right, but here, they were coming from many places and hearing in one language, their own, but spoken in a different one. It's just fascinating. And spoken through these people who are Galileans. I like their backwoods hillbillies, as they're from Galilee, and not educated. Okay, these are fishermen. These are common people. It's just amazing what's happening here. So God is using this. He's got people from all over that came to one place. He's going to set them on fire with the Spirit, and then they're going to go back to where they came from. This is going to spread the gospel big time. This is like a super spreader, all right? You know, we heard about that with COVID, but here's in a good way, right? All of a sudden, we're going to get people with the Holy Spirit, and we're going to set them out everywhere. The stage had been set for centuries. Alexander the Great came through the region. He came through all along the Mediterranean there, and he brought the Greek language. The people had many different languages, but he taught Greek, and when he controlled it, of course, people spoke that. So there's a common language now that everybody basically understood no matter where you went. Okay, that's going to come in good. That's going to help. The Romans then had come in and conquered. They built roads that made travel easy. And so these people coming here now, getting the Holy Spirit, they're going to go out back out on roads that have been built to make travel easy. They're going to be able to share what they saw and felt and heard in Greek. And it's just all set up. God set this whole thing up. It's beautiful. And the church basically exploded. From Peter's speech here, 3,000 were saved. We read that later in Acts. And they're going to tell others, of course, and it's just going to exponentially increase. They're going to tell people about the hope of the gospel, about the great things that God has done and will do. About the confidence and the love and everything else that we get from God. It's a beautiful thing. So Peter gets up then. He's got this whole crowd there, and the Holy Spirit just starts speaking through him in a big way. And in the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Well, here it is. The Spirit's being poured out. That's us studying at the last days. Isn't that just the time right before the second coming? Okay, and this is 2,000 years ago, I'm trying to make sense of this. So I'm doing a little bit of research, and the consensus seems to be that the last days are the time period between the resurrection and the second coming. So these last days are like last years or last centuries, if you will. But it's not like days, 24-hour days. So we are in the last days. Oh, yeah, of course, we're between those two time markers. But I think we're getting a little closer to the second coming, I believe that we're getting really close. You look at all the things that are happening in the world around us. Now, we don't know the day or the hour. It'll be wrong to predict that. But we can agree that every day is a day closer. Right? It's like a day on the calendar. We don't know when it is, but mathematically, every day we are moving closer to that. God has set that up. He knows when it is, and it is going to happen. For those of us are there believers, it's going to be a joyous occasion. Can't wait. Seeing Jesus face to face, being taken up to heaven with him. I mean, that's going to be wonderful. If it happens during our lifetime, that'd be like the coolest experience ever. But if it doesn't happen during our lifetime, yet we still get to participate, right? The dead will be raised, and they will live with him eternally. And our kids and their kids and their kids, however many generations between now and then, as well. So it's so important to pass on that faith, to pass it on to the youth, to your kids, to your grandkids, to those around you, to everyone, that they can rejoice in that day as well, because there will be those that will not be rejoicing. Those who thought that this was just a bunch of fiction are going to find out the hard way. I wouldn't want to see that to happen to anybody, nor does God. It is not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That all should see the error of their ways and genuinely confess, repent, and turn to him. And take it seriously, because it is serious. So God's communicating with his people, and he's saying this will happen. This is way back from Joel. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. I'll pour out my spirit in those days. And even men and women, they will prophesy. Show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. We're already seeing signs. More signs will follow. Things have to happen. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Okay, there's the reassurance right there. Okay, if we call on his name, we're good. So the Holy Spirit is going to be the one who's bringing the dreams, bringing the visions, causing the prophecies to happen. Indeed, all through the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's the Holy Spirit that's inspiring people to write these words, written by humans, inspired by the Spirit. The Spirit is one that can speak to us directly. Because as believers, his Spirit lives within us. Lives within us and has a number of different roles. We'd heard more about that in Romans today. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We can only do so much on our own. A determined human can do a lot. If you're determined to do something, you can accomplish a lot. But that's just weakness in God's sight. His ways are so much higher. He is so much stronger. But the Spirit helps us in our weakness. And sometimes we're living in our weakness too. We can feel it. Okay, the world's coming against us. You're just getting down, everything like that. The Spirit can help buoy you up. But even in our strength, the Spirit is there for us and with us. And when we're praying, we don't know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes with us for groans that words cannot express, or with groans that words cannot express. So sometimes you just have this burden of prayer thrust upon you where you just have to pray for a person, for a situation or something, and you don't even know sometimes what to pray or how to pray. But the Spirit does. The Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And sometimes prayers are just that. You're just, okay? Does God hear that prayer? Yeah. Does that prayer sometimes say more than a bunch of fancy words possibly can? Absolutely. Or else just shouts of joy for prayer. Not fancily constructed prayers, just raw prayers. Raw happy prayers, just, yes! You know? Or else just those prayers from the gut when you're in the depths. That's reaching out to God. That's not, again, fancy constructed prayers with lots of words. It's prayer from the gut. And God, that's really seeking him. Now, there's nothing wrong with nice prayers that are constructed nicely, too. Wonderful. You got the ability to write them or to speak them out, go for it. Go for it. But it's the intent. God sees the heart, again, right? God sees the heart. All righty. And he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with God's will. So the Spirit is an intercessor as well. Jesus is an intercessor before the Father for us, and the Spirit. They're both on our side. They're both helping us. And helping us is one of the prime missions of the Spirit. So we're hearing the gospel today. Jesus said, when the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. Okay. So the Counselor, that word in Greek is paraclete. And trying to find something that translates it completely is difficult. As you look through the various translations of the Bible, this verse right here, it says, when the Counselor comes. Some say, when the Advocate comes. Okay, he's going to advocate for us. He's going to help us out. When the Helper comes, another translation says. Yeah, the Holy Spirit's here to help us. Another way to express that word paraclete is comforter. When the Comforter comes. Yeah, absolutely. Holy Spirit can help with that. When the Friend comes. Another way to express that word. So if we have Counselor, Comforter, Advocate, Helper, and Friend. If you sort of put all that together, it's someone who's there with you. Someone who's there for you. Someone who cares about you. And this is God in the Spirit form. Fulfilling all those things. Comforting you in the tough times. Helping you when you need it. Advocating for you. Being a friend. A counselor. Someone that you can trust. You can share with. It's a beautiful thing. And again, always with us. And guiding us. Guiding us. You hear the phrase spiritual guide. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. He guides us into all truth. Okay? Now, spiritual guide, that's been hijacked by New Agers. I did some research on that. If you go on the internet and type in spirit guide, you're going to come up with some pretty crazy stuff. There's a lot of people out there, apparently, that you know don't believe in Christianity. They've got their own religions that they've created. And, these people are serious about this. When I typed in spirit guide and read up on it, it could be an ancestor, it could be an animal, it could be another false god that you are going to seek and connect with, and that's going to guide you through your decisions and through life. And we're talking demons here, okay? We are, straightforward, straight up. And people are relying on them, trusting them, and seeking them. It's pretty crazy, all right? And instead of God, they talk about the universe or something, or this, you know. Well, yeah, it is a great power. It is the one, but it's God. If you get a chance to reach out to some of these people that are being misled by these things, you know, do so. Reach out with the truth in a friendly way. Build a relationship. Let God work through you to convict him and convince him. You know, we can't just do it beating him over the head with Scripture, okay? That technique doesn't really work. You can't beat him over the head with the Bible. But if we can come alongside, we can build relationships. When they're stressed and worried, they look over and see the joy that you have, the peace that you have, the hope that you have. And they're going to, wow, whatever you're doing is working, huh? What are you doing? Well, let me tell you about God. Let me tell you about the Holy Spirit, the one that is leading me, that is guiding me, that is comforting me, that is counseling me. In this short passage of the gospel here, in these three chapters, 14 through 16, the Spirit is mentioned a bunch of times. I love it. They're some of my favorite chapters in the Bible. We had heard today that he'll testify about Jesus. Absolutely, he's going to confirm what Jesus did. He's going to give a testimony. He'll speak what he hears. Jesus said that too. I only speak the words that the Father has given me, that I hear from the Father. And here the Spirit is doing the same thing. He's representing God, speaking to us. He'll guide us into all truth. Yes. Holy Spirit guides us. He'll tell what is to come. Again, the prophesying. And he'll make things known to us. Again, prophecy. The Holy Spirit's sort of a moral compass. A moral compass. It's built into us, this moral compass. Any culture, people know right from wrong. That certain things are just plain wrong. Other things are okay. It's just natural instinct. But we have more than that. We have this moral compass that's going to guide us into all truth. And the Holy Spirit, when you read in Acts that Paul wanted to go to Asia, but was prevented from going there, and instead was redirected to Macedonia. The Holy Spirit, again, guiding, correcting. You got to be in touch with that spirit in you that will guide you, that will correct you, convict you when necessary, will reassure you, comfort you, confirm certain things, and warn about others. This moral compass, this Holy Spirit. And pray it on our kids these days. As kids are being told things that society and culture say are okay but are counter to Scripture, they need that moral compass. God's going to lead us in the right paths, okay? If God's saying it, it's right. There's no doubt about it. Other people are going to say other things. But if we have God leading us, that Spirit within us, guiding us, directing us, correcting us, convicting us, comforting us, all these things, you're going to walk the right paths. So again, pray for the kids and be there for them, for goodness sakes. They're being taught a lot of things and told a lot of things that are counter to what we know to be true. Again, as I said before, the Spirit is within us if we are believers. So I like to think of it as your own little portable Jesus. Okay? Your own little portable Jesus. He's in you. And it is, because he's going to say what he's going to testify to Jesus, right? He's going to say what he hears from him. And it's part of the three in one. But it's that part that lives within us that's going to guide us, that's going to comfort us. It's God's presence right there with us no matter where you go. You can't get away from him, right? As we've said many times before, you play hide and seek with God, you're going to lose, okay? But he's right there with you. You can't hide from him. And that's a wonderful thing. Sometimes when you're tempted to do something wrong, you start, yeah, boy, that looks good, but I better not. And then the Spirit's going to sort of maybe convict you a little bit, redirect you, show you the truth, and yeah, leave those thoughts alone. Don't let them turn into actions. That Spirit dwells within us. He's got a job to do. For some of us, a really big job, because we need a lot of redirecting, right? But it's a connection with God. It's this wonderful connection that we have. It's a Wi-Fi signal that doesn't fade out, that doesn't have gaps, that does not lose strength. Now, we can choose to ignore it, absolutely, 100%. We all have that free will. We can choose to ignore the promptings of the Spirit. I would encourage you not to, of course, to get more in touch with them, to be able to recognize them, to feel them, and to let yourself be guided. To dial back a little bit, the strong will, dial back being the stiff-necked people that God described in the Old Testament, to be pliable so that God can mold you and shape you. He can turn you into what he wants you to be. Not always what we want to be, but he, in his wisdom, what he wants us to be. So let him. Let him counsel you. Let him advocate for you. Let him comfort you. Let him help you. He's there for your good. Listen to him. Amen.